Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We're continuing to look at a Christian state of mind here in Philippians, the second chapter. We've already looked at the first chapter. We have looked at the second chapter, verses 1 through 11, and now we are resuming the sermon here in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 12. And we're looking specifically at the passage in verses 12 through 18 here in Philippians chapter 2. So as we consider what the Apostle Paul has communicated, he's communicated the exaltation of Christ following the humiliation of Christ. And now we are looking at how the Apostle Paul resumes his conversation with the Philippians concerning what he was speaking to them about in the first chapter, verse 27, when he speaks of whether he is present or absent, that he would hear of the saints in Philippi, how they stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so it's also important to understand that he speaks of not being terrified by their adversaries. And then he speaks of their salvation, and also speaks of the call in Christ that they have, that is to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Speaking of the same conflict that he himself is experiencing, which the saints at Philippi are very much aware of. So it's this, all that comes with the common faith, with the common salvation, is the common suffering, as well as the same conflict. We are a part of the same contest, but also it's important to understand that the same conflict results in the same joy. That is, if we share in this conflict, we will also share in the joy. And all of this we have in Christ. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking of, and he resumes this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, and it is after he emphasized this mind that the believers are to have, and he speaks of the fact that this is the same mind which was also in Christ Jesus. And we've talked about this, how Christ humiliated himself and was obedient. So this is what the Apostle Paul is going to pick up on here later in chapter 2, here at the point where we're going to resume the sermon, again, concerning a Christian state of mind, this obedience, this humiliation, this obedience, this exaltation, the glory that Christ has, which is to the glory of God the Father. So as we consider what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing here, he resumes in verse 12, where he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So we find now the expectation and the motivation, the expectation that they will continue in obedience. They will continue to obey, not just if or when the Apostle Paul himself is there, but even more so when he is not there. This is what he speaks of concerning his absence. And how is this obedience manifested? He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This is the expectation. Obedience that is manifested in their working out their salvation with fear and trembling. So as they have subordinated themselves to God's authority, communicated through the Apostle Paul as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they have given their attention to the words of Jesus' apostle. That's why the scripture says in Acts that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is the instruction that the apostles communicated in the name of Christ as witnesses of Jesus Christ. And this is what we are to follow. This is what we are to obey. And this is specifically what the Apostle Paul is communicating to the believers here at Philippi. Their obedience is their subjection or their subordination to the authority of God and His Word as communicated through and by the Apostle Paul as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that Jesus told his apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teaching, that is the doctrine or the instruction. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And he speaks of baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So here is what we have in relation to obedience and how is it manifested. The expectation for the believer is always obedience. And as I've said before, we brag more about disobedience and sin than the sinners in the world do. Believers seem content with living a substandard life and yet saying that we have been called by God through faith in Jesus Christ, but we don't speak of being made new. We brag about staying old in relation to how we live our lives. So in this regard, we must recognize the expectation, and the expectation is not disobedience and a lack of working out our salvation, but it is obedience, which is demonstrated in the performance of our salvation. And we may not have really heard it put that way, but that's what it is. We perform, but we perform according to the work of God. And this is what the Apostle Paul is going to speak of concerning the motivation. But he tells them that they are to demonstrate their obedience by working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And this is interesting because when he speaks to this, giving their full attention to Christ's authority, to the authority of God in their lives and over their lives, he speaks of them finishing your salvation, accomplishing your salvation, performing your salvation, and doing it with fear and trembling, which is interesting because he says not to fear your adversaries. So don't conform to those who are trying to intimidate you. Don't subject yourself to those who are trying to intimidate you, but rather subject yourself to God and be conformed to Christ, which is, again, the mind of Christ, which is a Christian state of mind in the midst of all that is contrary around you, both in relation to the persecution, in relation to the ways of the world and the contrary nature of the generation in which we live. And specifically in this case, the generation in which the saints at Philippi live. The people, the place, the time. And so the fear and the trembling must be with respect to God and not with respect to the world. And he gives the reason why. What is the reason for working out or finishing, performing, accomplishing our salvation with fear and trembling? He says in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So this has everything to do with recognizing who is actively working in them. And the same for you and me. God is actively working in us. This is the motivation. This is the reason for performing our salvation. The deliverance that Christ has given us is to be lived out. We don't have a stagnant faith any more than we have a dead hope. And that's why the Apostle Peter communicated that God has given us all that we need according to the divine nature, his work in us to be conformed to him according to the living hope that he has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So the motivation is God working in you. The expectation is to work it out. To work it out, to give the evidence that we've been made new in Christ. That we do not fear our adversaries, but we trust in God and we fear God more than man, and therefore we will obey God. You will find this in the book of Acts. The apostles said we ought to obey God rather than man. That is because they recognize that fearing God pays off. Fearing man puts you in bondage to man. We are slaves to the right master, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has been highly exalted and given a name that is above every name, because God, his Father, has done it to his own glory. And this is according to his good pleasure. And this is why the Apostle Paul says in verse 13 that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is, God performs in us. He actively works in us. He operates in us according to what is to his satisfaction, to his delight, according to his purpose and his desire. His good pleasure, his will. And this is a Christian state of mind. We're motivated to meet the expectation that is obedience and the working out of our salvation, because God is the one who is actively working in us to perform what is pleasing to him. Oftentimes we hear people speak of, I just want to do what the Lord would have me to do. And we seem to have this tendency of believers to be satisfied with a substandard Christian life. And honestly, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a substandard Christian life. God has called us to live above sin. He's called us to live above lowliness in relation to disobedience, in relation to, as they say, the muck and the mire. He's called us to live above that because of his wonderful work in us. And then he's called us to work it out according to him working in us. That's our motivation. The expectation is that we will work it out according to his work in us. An example is what is communicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. So God gives gifts through his Spirit, different gifts as communicated, but the same Spirit, because there's only one God. And his Spirit, he, according to his Spirit, gives different gifts. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 6, it says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. That word operations and that word worketh are part of the same word. That is the activity of God in you, the activity of God in me, the activity of God in us, the body of Christ, the people of God. And in this case, in 1 Corinthians 12, it is speaking of the diversities of gift, the different gifts, the distinctions, different gifts, but the same God, the same Spirit, the same work, the same Spirit at work. And so when we consider God working in us, the work that God performs in us is not contrary to who he is. That's why we are called to be one. Different gifts, but the same God through his Spirit operating in us, and therefore not contrary to God himself. So the people of God must live according to the work of God in us. And when we aren't living according to God working in us, then we are living according to our own work apart from God. And let me tell you, there's nothing good that we can produce apart from God. He must be working in us, and we must be obedient, subjected to his command and authority over our lives, and we must perform according to his work in us in order to please him. This is the Christian state of mind. So as we consider this, we must realize and we should be reminded of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, abide in me, because apart from me or without me, you can do nothing. And so we're called to abide in Christ as his people, as one body, because that's where we get the power from. That's how God works in us to do what is according to his good pleasure. Not just to do, but to desire, to be determined, to want to please him. It's all his work. So we, as the Apostle Paul has called the saints at Philippi here in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, to obedience, and the evidence that is the expectation of working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. He gives this reason, which is their motivation, because God is working in you. And he's working in you for his purpose and according to his good pleasure. And so we as believers now must recognize that we are called to live for God and to please him. And this is done with fear and trembling as he works in us to perform, to finish, to complete, to accomplish what he's called us to and what he's called us for according to his good pleasure. Salvation is the end. Salvation is the end, but salvation is not stagnant. Salvation is more than a profession. Salvation is a performance. It is who we are and how we live. So this is the work that God does in us, and this is the obedience that these believers here at Philippi are called to. And as the Apostle Paul says, much more in my absence. When I'm not here, don't become slack. And this is the culture and the climate of God's people in this day, that we're just waiting for the Lord to come back, and we've grown hard and cold, and we have no interest in obedience. Listening attentively to his word, obeying the doctrine of Jesus Christ, paying attention and subordinating and subjecting ourselves to the command and authority of our Lord himself. Yielding ourselves to the work of God in us in order for us to accomplish what God calls us to concerning our salvation. Demonstrate it, live it out. And we have become satisfied with sin in a substandard Christian walk. And that ought to hurt our hearts, because it certainly shortchanges the work of God, the power of God, and the lordship of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that he can't do it. It doesn't mean that he won't do it. It doesn't mean that he isn't who he is. It just means that we are not doing what he's called us to do in relation to obedience and working it out according to his work in us. This is the Christian state of mind, surrendered to God for his work and performing according to his power, that we might please him and satisfy him. And this is communicated in Galatians chapter 2, verse 8, concerning the apostleship of Peter and Paul. where the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 8, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." That is the work of God, the effectual work of God in Peter concerning his apostleship to the Jews, is the same work that was performed mightily in the Apostle Paul concerning his apostleship to the Gentiles. And this is what we just talked about some in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, concerning spiritual gifts. They're spiritual. It is God at work. And we often try to do things by man-made methods and in order to please men, and it doesn't add up to anything of value in heaven. Only the work and the power of God can please or satisfy God. That's why God must be working in us. And I'm afraid that the church today is deficient when it comes to the power of God in his people. We're busy, but we're not moving with any power. We have no power, but we have lots of activity. The Spirit of God must be doing the work. He must be operating in his people. And this is the only way to please God, and it's the only way to serve God. In Galatians 3 and 5 speaks of the same thing. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" He's speaking of faith, but the emphasis here that I want to point out is the work. The work that is the result of the Spirit, the operation of God. And it goes on, and you can look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which we are familiar with, which says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So we have exceeding abundant power. That's according to God's power that is actively operating, actively working in us. And so often we lose sight of the power that we have in Christ. And I don't mean for filthy gain. And I don't mean to become religious prima donnas. I mean to work the work, to perform according to God's work in us, which again will not contradict what is pleasing, satisfying, delightful to God, according to his good pleasure. See, a lot of people are working in the name of Jesus, but they don't have the power of Jesus because their work is contrary to the Spirit of Christ. That's why the Apostle John says, "Try the Spirit by the Spirit. Don't believe every spirit. Test the Spirit whether they are of God." Because anything that is a contradiction to the Word of God is a contradiction to the work of God, which is a contradiction to the Spirit of God. We have too many solo acts going on now, and none are pleasing to God. But if he's working in you, the evidence is going to be in your performance, because your performance is not going to be according to you. It's going to be according to the work of God, therefore the power of God, to the glory of God. So this is what the Apostle Paul says to the saints at Philippi concerning their salvation, concerning their expectation and motivation. God is working in you. You got to fear God. You got to work this out and perform with fear and trembling, not because of your adversaries, not because of those who persecute you, but because of the Almighty God working in you. And as Paul says in Ephesians, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's how we work it out. That's how we work it out. That is the Christian state of mind. God works in us, and as a result, we work for God. That's how it works. Too many solo acts, brothers and sisters. Too many solo acts. And we've got to be obedient according to God's work, according to His Spirit, according to His Word, according to the Lordship, the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the Christian state of mind. And then in verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul says to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Again, we have the expectation. What is the expectation? That everything that you do will be apart from or without grudging, without discussion, without this dispute, this debate, as it were. You know, we like to talk about everything. We like to reason over things that we don't need to reason over. That is, when the Lord says it, we are called to do it. And so all that is good, all that is pleasing to God, should not be up for debate concerning the Christian. Now, the world would like to debate. We find that in the book of Acts, particularly when the Apostle Paul goes to Mars Hill and Athens, and the whole city is given over to idolatry, and they want to talk about everything. They want to reason and philosophize about everything. But here with the people of God, we're not called to be murmurers. We're not called to have everything discussed as a matter of debate, as a matter of doubting, as a matter of reasoning as to whether or not we want to obey God and whether or not we want to live according to the mind of Christ, according to the mind that we have been called to in Christ and because of Christ. No, and that's what the Apostle Paul is discouraging the saints at Philippi from doing. He's saying, don't let anything be done according to murmuring and disputing. This grumbling, he says, you're supposed to be separated from that. And I want to tell you what this means. This murmuring, this grumbling is to complain or protest about something in a bad temper, but typically muted way. You know, like grumbling under your breath. To complain, to moan, to groan, to whine, you know, and I don't mean W-I-N-E as in the drink. I mean to whine as a cry, baby, W-H-I-N-E. Everything is always a matter of complaining, protesting, belly aching, beefing. You gotta beef with everything. Grouching. You remember Oscar the Grouch from Sesame Street. That's what we encounter oftentimes. We have a lot of Oscar the Grouches. We have a lot of Christian grouches. Protesting everything. Speaking out against everything. Finding fault with everything. Sounding off on everything. Picking holes in everything. Chirping about everything. And the Apostle Paul says, don't do anything with that mindset. That's not the Christian state of mind. He says, let everything be done separate from that. So we shouldn't always have this beef about everything as it relates to how we are called to live in Jesus Christ. We're to be one. Joy. This fellowship that he spoke about, this comfort of love, this comfort in Christ. Fellowship in the Spirit, compassion, sympathy, and mercy that he speaks of here in chapter 2 in Philippians. That's what we are called to. And then he explains in verse 15, he gives the motivation in verse 14, then he gives, or the expectation in verse 14, he gives the motivation in verse 15, and this is where we will pick up the next time, Lord willing. But in the meantime, make sure you tell somebody just how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.